Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior, a Hap-Up podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have the amazing Lita with me. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm good. It's a sad day for me. This is my last day as a resident of the great state of Michigan, so a lot of packing and a lot of goodbyes today, but excited for my next adventure.
Yeah, you're going on like a spirit journey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I
thought you were going to balk at that description, but I should have known.
No, that's basically what it is. I'm couch surfing the country for the next couple months.
Yes. Okay. So
it's a spirit journey. It's more of like a climbing and eating journey, but that could be spiritual.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if we have some slightly irregular coverage, then you know who to blame.
Taryn, for not accommodating my journey.
No, definitely Lita and her spiritualness. Maybe if you weren't quite so spiritual, we'd have a better podcast.
Wow. Rude.
That's all I'm saying.
Maybe you should believe in something and then we'd have a better podcast.
I believe in robotics.
Okay, great.
Fair warning to everyone today. I was up until like 4 a.m. editing my Audrey Middleton podcast on the Taryn Show to make sure it went out today for everyone to enjoy.
Wow, that's a record. You almost went like 15 seconds without bringing up the Taryn Show on this podcast.
No, it was actually, I have the recording right here. It was about a minute and a half.
Wow, new record, 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's very true. I thought it was a really good interview. I really enjoyed it. You know, I feel like Lita would enjoy it, but you know, she's too, mean about it. So
I'm just really unsupportive of all your projects on principle. So
it's very true. Including this one.
Yeah. Especially this one. That's why I'm always on here trying to sabotage it.
We are here to talk about the American Ninja Warrior episode 9 from season 9. It's Daytona Beach. And we start the episode off with a never give up montage.
Yeah, this was like a motivational speech.
Yeah, it was like a never give up ever unless they lock you in a room and throw away the key.
Did you feel a call to action from this? Did you feel inspired?
Yes. So I just watched this. And as I said, I'm quite tired at the moment. So like all of my emotional reactions to this episode were like magnified by 10.
Oh, wow. So lots of crying.
Not actually. I didn't actually cry at this one, but I was just like, I was at the verge of tears throughout many moments.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's one story that I can't believe you didn't cry. That's like proof you're made of stone.
I guess so. I certainly came close. But I don't know. Maybe I was too tired to cry. I don't know. Who knows? So anyway, let's talk about this course at Daytona Beach. We have, of course, the qualifying course that had the floating steps, the rolling pin, the wing nuts that was created by the maker. We had Broken Bridge, the deadly Rolling Thunder, and they cap that off with the warped wall. Then we get into the second half of the course for the finals. We start off, as always, with the salmon ladder. And then going into the giant cubes.
I love the name of this obstacle.
Yeah, me too. Really well named here.
Yes.
There's two giant cubes, and they're hanging in the air. And you have to climb up on them. There's a little ledge at the top that's very thin, sort of a cliffhanger-esque. And there's no footholds on two of the three sides that you're climbing on for both of the cubes. So you have to climb your way around with no footholds, jump across to the other side, and then climb around again with no footholds on either of the backsides of those cubes, and then make your way off. We saw most people fail here at the giant cubes.
Yeah, I will say that they are technically rectangular prisms, but I will forgive them for shortening it to giant cubes.
Wow, it seems very pedantic of you.
I want to be thorough and accurate for our geometry inclined listeners.
Do we have geometry inclined listeners?
I don't know, maybe. I don't want to exclude them if we do.
When do you learn geometry?
9th grade.
Wow, you're really prepared with that.
Well, it's the first math class you take in high school. And it was also the worst I ever did in a math class.
I feel like I took algebra first.
Yeah, but you take algebra in middle school.
Oh, maybe that's why.
You do algebra 1 in 8th grade. And like, obviously it differs for some people, but algebra 1 in 8th grade, geometry 9th grade, then algebra 2 in 10th grade.
Yeah. I don't geometry.
Unless you're Taryn and you did algebra 2 in third grade.
Well, that's that is true. I did do various math classes ahead of time, but but the one math class I hated was geometry.
Me too. Not the one, but it was the one I hated the
geometry.
Most.
Geometry. Yeah. Well, it's like proofs and shapes. That's not math. It's not numbers. I don't like it.
Yeah, this is a strictly anti-geometry podcast, but we're not anti-geometry inclined listeners. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
We're against the concept, but not the people who are inclined towards it.
I don't know. I feel like they perpetuate this terrible concept of mathematics. So.
All right. Yeah. Stop perpetuating geometry. It's just despicable.
It's very terrible of you. So you get off the giant cubes and you go to the circuit board where you have to take these little handles that have little big balls at the top of them and then stick them up through the circuit board holes. Wow.
How do you always do this?
Look, it's not my fault. This is exactly what it is. It's what the shape is. What do you want from me? They have to navigate their way through this maze of holes that they need to stick their balls through. Then they get through the circuit board and to the elevator climb where we've talked about it many times this season. They have to hold on to the handles on either side and work their way up. The elevator climb. I gotta say, we'll talk about it later, but this is the episode where I really just felt like, stop it with the elevator climb, make it easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll talk about it later. First up, we had Eddie Stewart, the 34-year-old firefighter, and Lita's number one hottest guy ever. She loves him. He does the left-right double-double. He's the flex pec flexer.
He can't have flex. That's already a thing.
No, he's the pec flexer. I just said I wrote wants to flex his pecs all the way to Vegas, so I said flex before pecs, but it's really pecs flexing.
Okay, it's like a tongue twister. He didn't even do the left right double double. Like Akbar said it, but he did more like left right double. Like Ooh. it was not technically the left right double double.
Well, that's disappointing because when I tune into American Ninja Warrior on Monday nights, I expect a left-right double-double and not a left-right double.
Yeah, it seemed like it was not as well choreographed or streamlined as we have come to expect from the great Eddie Stewart.
So disappointing. All right, so he says he's worried about the agility obstacle here and really ends up beating himself up on this course. He busts his lip on the rolling pin, does really great on the wing nuts, but then almost goes down on the broken bridge, lands right on his face. And guess what?
Does Akbar see him?
Yes! On the salmon ladder.
I finally learned what that is, what that means when you say that.
I'm going to have to start mixing it up.
Yeah. Is he from Alabama? Did you happen to catch this?
I don't care nearly as much about where people are from than you do because you care about colleges.
Well, yeah. So Akbar, when he's on the Rolling Thunder, Akbar is like, roll tide, roll this thunder, which only makes sense if he went to Alabama. But I didn't catch it.
Well, when has making sense been a barrier for Akbar?
Well, that's what I want to know. I wanted to know if this was just like a random thing that he was throwing out or if this actually made sense.
Well,
not that you would know what it meant either way.
No, I wouldn't. So he is the first to face the giant cubes and cannot climb his way up on that first cube. We're going to see a lot of people have the same trouble here and go down in that same spot. But that is where Eddie Stewart goes out. He ends up on the bubble. And getting pushed out right at the end. So we will not be seeing him flex his pecs all the way to Vegas.
Unfortunately, because I totally would have spent the whole time talking to him.
Oh, clearly. If he had been there, it would have been like, God, has Lita talking to flexing pec dude again? She just
can't tear me away.
I'm watching these people run the course and her eyes are just glued to this guy. Like, I mean, that was basically what was happening anyway. But if it had been this guy, yeah. Who knows?
I was going to say that definitely is what was occurring. It was just not him.
All right. So then we had a montage starting off with Cedric Idudu, the Nigerian who is an IT consultant. And he quickly went offline. On the wing nuts. Then we had Brie Widener. This is one of your actual favorites. Makeup artist, horror makeup artist. Akbar says he has his eyes on her, which is a variation of seeing her. Okay. And she gets worn down by the Rolling Thunder, just like in qualifying. Ultimately, probably came pretty close to qualifying for Vegas here, but I guess didn't get to the Rolling Thunder quite fast enough. So unfortunate for Brie. Then we have a Brett Sims, who gets montaged here, who slips up on the salmon ladder, which must have been disappointing. Ultimately does not qualify for Vegas, despite being...
Poor Brett.
Man. Brett, not always lucky in these Ninja Warrior competitions.
Yeah, it's like after all those years, he finally got highlighted last year, and now we're just back to the old habits. Yep.
All right, next up we had Josh Butler, the 31-year-old bus driver, and this was definitely a heartbreaker. Their first, he's married, and they had their first son, Dewey, who was born with a very rare genetic disorder. They said they basically spent all their time in the hospital for 132 days before Dewey ultimately passed away. And then they found out that there is another baby in the hospital that had been abandoned, who had some similar medical disorders. And they decided, you know what? Let's adopt them. Their baby, Braxtel, who is not able to speak because he has a tube in his throat to help him get oxygen. They communicate via sign language. Just, you know, very, very heartbreaking, but also sort of heartwarming story. It really seems like a great, great family, great parents here to adopt this baby. And it seems like they really, really love him.
Yeah. So this was the only time this whole episode that I cried. Because how could you not? Must be some sort of crazy person to not cry during this. But also, I do want to point out that they make the biggest reach for an NBC cross promotion I have ever heard on show, where they start this package by saying, if you like This Is Us, then you'll love this next person. And I'm like, is he Milo Ventimiglia? Like, what is the connection here? And it's just because they adopted a child after something sad happened. But it's like not, and then they have to like explain it in detail. They're like, if you don't watch This Is Us, here's why the connection that we just made definitely totally makes sense.
I did watch This Is Us, and I heard them, or at least I watched the first episode.
Yeah,
I did give up on it.
I only watched the first episode.
And I did hear them make the This Is Us connection, and maybe it's just because I'm very tired, but I still, like, after they told the story, I'd completely forgotten about This Is Us. I have no idea why they... I guess the cross promotion, but man, that was weird.
Yeah, NBC, it's like their two biggest shows right now. Maybe they decided they're going to work together, so maybe now we'll see a lot of American Ninja Warrior references on This Is Us.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward to it.
when you jump back into your favorite TV show, This Is Us.
Yeah, when I go back,
it takes place in Pittsburgh.
Sure. Does it take place in multiple locations? Maybe I didn't get that.
I don't know. Mandy Moore and Milo Ventimiglia live in Pittsburgh. They have terrible towels and stuff.
Well, they're like from the 70s or whatever.
Yes.
That's probably why they have terrible towels.
Pittsburgh still existed in the 70s.
All right.
It had been invented.
Well, Josh, he drives a bus for a nonprofit that helps underprivileged kids, as if you needed more reason to like this guy. He gets to the Rolling Thunder, says to the crowd, I need you. He gets through it with the advice of his wife. And Akbar says, yes, Rolling Thunder just got served by the butler.
He really drove this butler thing way too hard into the ground.
Yeah, well, again, never been a barrier for entry for Akbar.
Guess so.
Ultimately, Josh struggles on the salmon ladder and goes down, does not qualify for Vegas, but interesting story nonetheless.
I did really like that when he was on the Rolling Thunder, he was like sliding backwards and his wife shouts to him, like, go forward. And then he does it and it works immediately. Like, yeah, everyone should listen to their wives.
Yeah, there you go.
All the time.
All the time.
She knew.
Yeah, definitely.
All the time.
I'm letting that silence just linger so the audience can be like, wait a minute. I don't know about that. All right.
Is that a controversial take that men should listen to their wives?
I feel like if you're in a relationship, you should listen to the person that is making the better argument.
Okay. Well, in this case, it was his
very
wife.
True. So next we have another montage starting with Ricky Vu, who got cramps in both legs, had to be carried off the course at the floating steps.
This was crazy. Whoa. And I don't know if it was like a lack of potassium, maybe, because that has happened to me before, but it was like right when he got on there. And it was maybe like Charlie horses, which are horrible, horrible, horrible. But that was crazy. I don't know how this happened.
It sucks. He looked so enthusiastic. And then it's just like seconds later, he's like writhing in pain and they have to carry him off the course. It's very unfortunate. He must have been disappointing. And then we also get Booty Cawthron, who goes down at Rolling Thunder. This is his first time making it to city finals, but he will not qualify for Vegas.
Going back to Possum Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Next, we had Michael Johnson, the 24-year-old events manager. And Lita, he's got ice in his veins.
So I looked up where this came from.
Good, because I was very confused.
Yes, because I was too. It's something that I think I've heard before, but it just felt like I was supposed to know what this meant and I didn't. So I needed to look it up. And apparently everybody here knows that I don't watch basketball. It's like the one major league sport that I do not watch at all. So I guess there was a Lakers player named D'Angelo Russell, and he kind of coined this as a celebratory, thing when he did well. And I guess it's like an expression for when you're a really clutch player who rises above adversity because you have ice in your veins, so you don't like feel the pressure or something like that. It's about like, not feeling or something. And so being able to perform.
It was kind of like a weird contrast to be like, this guy has got ice in his veins. And then they cut to like this guy, like soft-spoken guy in glasses, like, yeah, I'm running for my mom
and my grandma
passed away, and my lovely grandma and my wonderful aunt. And I've got ice in my veins. Like, wait a minute. This seems like it doesn't fit.
He's a complicated person.
I guess so.
I like him.
I liked him. I liked him a lot. He seems like a cool guy. We join him at the Wingnuts, despite having a package. I liked this. They did this a couple times in this episode. Usually we join people late only if we don't get a package from them. But this was like, while you were watching the package, he got through all the boring obstacles that you've seen a billion times.
Yeah, I liked this too.
Yeah. So Akbar, after Rolling Thunder, says, tell us what you've got in your veins, baby.
Does he respond?
I don't think so.
Look, shut up. I already told you. It's on his T-shirt. Also, this was like a the first instance of a blatant lie on this show that we see, where he says in qualifying a few weeks ago, it's like, we don't need to do this. It's fine.
They say that all the time.
I know, I felt like it was more prevalent tonight.
Well, I think like, when they say like, I've been training for weeks since qualifying, that's when it seems more blatant to me. But like when they're like in qualifying weeks ago, they could theoretically be referring to like, when you saw them in qualifying a few weeks ago. It is obviously quite silly. He ultimately gets to the giant cube and can't get up that first cube like many others and goes down there. However, he does manage to qualify in 15th place, making it just a bit faster than Eddie Stewart. So we will be seeing some ice in somebody's veins when we get to Vegas.
Yeah, and he lost his glasses, but he found them.
Good story.
Well, I feel like we frequently talk about people wearing glasses on the course and that choice.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we had Emily Durham, the 33-year-old wakeboarder who she was a champion, world champion wakeboarder. This was not hyperbole, apparently. She legitimately was a world champion wakeboarder.
They didn't say one of the top wakeboarders.
Yes, exactly. This is her third time competing on American Ninja Warrior. She had an incredibly cute daughter cheering on the sidelines and does pretty well.
Yeah, this was I feel like this was the whole like you can have a great family life and also be an athlete, which we've seen before a lot of times.
Yeah, this was like look at this perfect family. She was also like a world champion and like very pretty and like is also doing well in American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, so
like,
much adversity.
Cool.
Yeah. They're so blonde.
She also had another wakeboarder there to cheer her on, who also competes on American Ninja Warrior. I don't know wakeboarders, so I don't remember his name.
I would be really impressed if anyone could just name a wakeboarder.
It was probably like Sean something.
Just based on the high proportion of Sean's that compete on American Ninja Warrior?
That compete in sports. Yeah.
Okay.
She goes down on the Rolling Thunder. Also does not manage to make it fast enough to qualify for the women here. So we will not be seeing Emily Durham in the Vegas finals. Then we get a salmon ladder montage. It takes two people out. They didn't even put their names up on the screen, so I didn't write them down.
I just have failure montage because I think they also showed a girl failing earlier than that.
Yep. I didn't even write that one down because
I didn't know who she was.
I was already like, well, I missed the other two, so I guess it would be unfair.
Special treatment.
Yeah. Then we get a montage when we get back from commercials, starting with Nick Patel, who is a walk-on and fails at the giant cubes. And then Alexio Gomez from the Brazzi Bros makes it to the second cube and goes down. Ultimately,
he whacked his face on the second cube.
Yes.
Not the first or the last to do that.
Face plants into it. Does not qualify for Vegas, despite making it to the giant cubes here. Then next up, we have Rigel Henry, the 29-year-old construction worker. Many, many times they pointed out that he looks like Spicoli.
True. Have you seen that movie?
I have seen that movie.
Oh, I haven't. But I know what they're talking about. We watched a clip of it in one of my women's studies classes.
Was it about how they're mean to women?
No. Are they mean to women?
Was it about how they're nice to women? I don't know. I just don't know why you'd watch it in a women's studies class.
There is a plot line about a certain hot button political issue in it that we were looking at media representation of that issue.
Well, who knew? he says, guess what? Actually, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm high on life.
Just like you. So, I feel like you've said that exact sentence to me.
I have never said I'm high on life.
You're always like, Lita, I don't drink. I don't smoke, but I'm so high on life right now.
So this is how this sentence works for me. I don't drink. Ooh, cool. I like this guy. Don't smoke. Awesome. It's very rare to find these people. I can relate to them. I'm high on life. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Bye. You wouldn't be friends with someone who says they're high on life.
You know, people might not know this. Yeah, this is a rare subculture here, but people that don't drink or do any drugs or anything, there's two different kinds, right? Or there's kind of three different kinds. There's like the straight edge, like hardcore music listeners. They're great. I love them. Then there's like the I'm high on life and like a theoretically potentially crazy person.
Adrenaline junkies.
They are you like, it's cool. You can relate to the fact that you don't drink, but that's probably all you're going to be able to talk about them. Talk about with them. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the just like random people that like me that just like don't do it. And it's fine. And I like those people because wow. They're like me.
I'm going to snap you from all the different places on my trip about how high on life I am.
Wonderful. You're so spiritual.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so he also has a war cry. I don't understand what this is. It's he says, Skip!
Yeah, the spelling of this didn't correspond to how he was saying it.
I literally had I wrote it down. It's S-K-E-E-E-E. Oh man, I am tired. It's S-K-E-E-E-E-A-A-A-A-P.
But he says like scap.
And then I had to write in parentheses skip.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like he's yelling skip.
This just reminds me of the Waboom guy from The Bachelorette. And I know that you don't watch that, but I just don't make up these catchphrases. It's so annoying. Like, you can have a catchphrase, but don't just make up a word that you shout. This goes back to all of my biases against men who shout.
Larging.
Is that yours?
Boom. Catchphrase.
I feel like that was too many consonants.
Larging.
It just sounds like a Viking cry.
Well, didn't you know I'm a Viking?
That explains the horns.
Yeah, I'm a Viking that doesn't drink or smoke. I'm such a contradiction.
I'm a complicated person.
Truly. He has the fastest time.
Talk about fast times.
Oh,
I didn't say that. Akbar said that.
Oh, well, I'm so disappointed now.
I should just start taking credit for like the one good Akbarism every episode. You should.
It's funny because I don't ever write the good ones down.
I know.
He tries to do an early dismount from the second side or from the side of the second cube and goes down. He said he was pretty pumped, so he just decided to try and make it interesting there. You know, I guess that's what happens when you're high on life. You make poor life decisions.
Yeah, your judgment is just all clouded from all that life that you're on.
Mm-hmm. You get it's all moderation in everything.
Is life a gateway drug?
Obviously.
Or is life the ultimate drug?
It couldn't be the ultimate drug.
Okay. It can't be?
No.
Do you have an explanation for that?
This is normally where I'd have a funny explanation for that, or at least an attempted funny explanation for that. But instead,
just not even try.
I'm describing how I don't.
Okay.
So he goes down there, Rigel Henry. Goes down he does qualify though. I believe he's the top qualifier for people that go down at the giant cubes. Next up we have Akbar. Akbar says, look guys, these giant cubes, they're more like Rubik's cubes because these ninjas can't figure them out. What?
Yeah, and I know how much you love Rubik's cubes.
I do.
So yeah. You probably really connected with this.
I was like, well, obviously, they can't figure them out because they can't spend 10 seconds Googling how to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Because they have better things to do, like go play on the giant cubes.
Exactly. We see Dustin Fishman and Royal Eason go down here. Rico Rivera solves the first one, but can't make the second one. I believe Rico qualifies. Dustin also qualifies, actually. But Royal Eason does not, unfortunately. I believe we enjoyed Royal the first time around, but nothing here. I guess they exhausted all the Royal puns.
I don't remember him. Was he the guy with the shoes?
I thought maybe, but no, I think he's just like the guy that they just kept saying was like, he's royalty, is royal, like put a crown on him.
Oh, because his middle initial was T.
Yes, Royal T Eason, yeah.
That's still, I cannot picture his face.
Well, that's what happens when you get montaged.
Yeah, I guess so.
Next up was Kevin Carbone, the 21-year-old tennis instructor, creator of the Wingnuts. He is the maker, super fan of the show. Part of his interview that I really enjoyed was just like, you could see, he wasn't quite saying this outright, but you could see the pure pleasure in his eyes as he described all of the ninjas and how they fail at the Wingnuts. He's like, so many of them are failing at the Wingnuts. The ghosts of ninjas are
he
there.
He said it was like the Hunger Games.
Yes. He really enjoys taking people down with the Wingnuts. Yeah, there you go. I like it.
His t-shirt looks like the logo for the Taran Show.
Wow, what a copier.
Did you ask him to promote this for you?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't notice that? It's like a silhouette of a face of like a face in profile with a gear inside.
Wow. What? Do I need to sue him?
No, he's promoting it for you. Don't sue Kevin. Leave him alone.
Well, he is coming up with some more obstacles. I actually really liked the Peg Salmon Ladder that he calls Pegasus. A great name, by the way. And another one called Chopsticks, which I also thought was a good name, although I didn't quite understand what the obstacle was with that one.
It's even more impressive because he says he's come up with all these obstacles since qualifying. Wow, yeah. That was fast.
He's the maker. He just comes up with them right off the, you know, he went home in the hours that he had and built some obstacles, filmed some footage, and then came back the next day.
I didn't even remember that he was a tennis instructor. I love him.
I didn't remember it either. I don't think they've mentioned it once other than just his okay. Subtitle. He does get through the Wingnut. He manages to get through his own obstacle once again. Akbar says, I see you, Carbone, on the broken bridge. He goes very, very fast on Rolling Thunder, which is definitely the way to go if you're capable of it. And then finally gets to the giant cubes where we see some innovation. And Akbar says himself, look at this, you innovative rookie, you. Oh, my. He's taking the show to Vegas, looking like a magician over there. Because what he does is when he gets to the first giant cube, he flips around on the pole that they climb down to get there and pushes himself up on the pole before reaching over and getting to the top of the cube, therefore like eliminating most of the difficulty in getting up that first cube. And when I was watching people try to get up that cube, I was thinking, why aren't they using the pole to get up? I thought it was against the rules. Apparently not. Apparently, it just took Kevin to figure this out and show them how it's done. We ultimately see Drew Dreschel doing the same technique here. So when Drew's doing it, you know it's the optimal move. Very impressive by Kevin to be the first one to do that. He also becomes the first person to get through the giant cube. So good on you, Kevin.
Yeah, I liked how the giant cubes kind of gave the opportunity to invent or like demonstrate strategies that people would then copy. We see Jesse Graff do it as well, where there's just like so many different ways to approach this. And it's so new and so different that people come up with something and then people copy it.
I really enjoyed the giant cubes. I feel like this is a very well-made obstacle. And yeah, like you said, it gives a lot of room to like, it gives a lot of freedom for the athletes to like maneuver around it however they want, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that always makes for a good obstacle. So he ultimately gets to the circuit board where he runs out of gas, but obviously does qualify for Vegas. So we'll be seeing some Carbone in Vegas. Maybe he'll make some obstacles for them.
I will say that this was the point. I really like the circuit board as an obstacle, but having the cubes and the circuit board like in a row, those are two slow paced obstacles. I felt like there needed to be something different after the cubes, because it's just so much watching people figure something out rather than like, you know, just go through it. Like something like even the Rolling Thunder is slow.
Yeah, there were a lot of slow obstacles here. And I remember that we liked the circuit board when it was introduced last year, but it did feel very slow this year. And it felt like, it just wore people out. Like,
yeah, I think that it maybe just instead of three different boards, it just should have been two, because then it would have gone faster. People dismount at the beginning of the third one anyway, and then maybe they would have a little bit left for the elevator climb.
Maybe. But that's it for Kevin Carbone. Next, we have another montage, starting with Ryan Stratus, who gets montaged here. He got a back slap from his students this time, ultimately goes out on the second cube of giant cubes, does manage to qualify, however. Cutting it kind of close, though. He finishes in 13th place. I guess that's why he was montaged. Who knows? Then we had Tyler Gillette, who gets through the cubes and goes out on the circuit board, also obviously qualifies.
And they show his aunt, who is my friend, and I was excited about that because now I can talk about that because he's qualified. But I talked to his aunt for a long time in Vegas.
Oh, that's this guy.
Yeah, remember that lady I was talking to for a long time?
Yeah, she was, and they were talking about Tyler. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never made that connection.
Yeah, that was her, and they showed her on TV, and I was like, hey, that's my friend.
There you go. Next up, we had JJ Woods, the 30-year-old stuntman, and this time he is running for his 8-year-old friend Zoe, who has stage 4 neoblastoma. Is that right?
You can't ask me things about medical things.
Well, you're supposed to know.
Sorry.
He says she's the strongest person he knows. He's really doing this for her. I was a little confused. I felt like I didn't get enough like backstory for this.
How they know each other.
Yeah, like yeah. How they know each other, why it's a package now and not before.
Right.
Like what's really happening here. But you know, it's she was adorable and you know, him talking about how she's the strongest person he knows, like that's compelling stuff. I felt like I needed more information.
There was definitely like a family friend connection, and she calls him Uncle JJ, so it's something like that. But yeah, they did not do a good job of laying the groundwork for this.
Yes, we ultimately join him at Rolling Thunder. He then uses Kevin's technique to get up on that first cube. gets through the giant cubes, and his dad is yelling, "You're going to be the first finisher! First finisher!"
Well, his dad's a liar.
Yeah, it's very true. He does an early dismount on the circuit board and gets through it, looks exhausted, comes pretty close to getting through the elevator climb. He's got pure struggle face. He is giving everything, and you can tell he is physically and emotionally exhausted when he drops. I like seeing that. It's compelling stuff, but I still feel like I would like some more people to be able to get through these courses. I don't want it to be every single time like, well, can the superstar ninja be our only finisher of the night? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
But yes, JJ, very good run here. Very compelling to watch.
Yes.
Yes, that is where you agree.
Sorry. I thought you were going to say something else.
Next up, we had Lindsay Eskildsen.
Eskildsen.
The 35-year-old web developer. She met a guy on the ninja course and ended up dating long distance.
Yeah, Joe Green from California to Alabama.
This is like your dream, right?
To meet an American Ninja Warrior and then not really have to see him that often, but have him just be my boyfriend.
Yep.
Yeah, nailed it. That's exactly, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but that's actually exactly what I want.
See, guys, I know Lita so well.
And she's a former cheerleader.
There you go.
And gymnast.
She gets pretty close to finishing the Rolling Thunder, ultimately goes down there. And then they do something interesting here. I don't believe they've ever done this before. But correct me if I'm wrong, people who have been watching all along, if you remember better than I can, but they show her a replay of her run and they're having her watch. And I was like, why don't they do this more often? Because this is kind of fun. Yeah. They're like, watch your face get slammed multiple times.
Yeah, but she didn't even feel the first one.
Yeah, she's like, wait, I hit my face?
Yeah. She felt the second one because that looked really painful.
After the second one, it like erased the memory of the first one.
Yes, just mildly concussed.
Yes. So that was kind of fun. Lindsay Eskildsen ultimately is the second female qualifier here. So she gets there fast enough and we will be seeing her in Vegas. Next up, we have another montage starting with Les Bradley, who goes out on the salmon ladder, and then Steven Sen, who goes down on the broken bridge. Then another montage on our way back from the commercial. We have Cassidy Mark, who goes out on the circuit board, and Lucas Gomez, who is the second of the Brazzi Bros, who goes out on the giant cube. I believe they both managed to qualify there.
They do?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant both the Brazzi Bros.
No. both Cassidy and the
yes.
Lucas.
Lucas qualifies. Alexio doesn't, even though they went down on the same obstacle because yes. Lucas was faster.
Next up, we have Sean Darling Hammond, the 32-year-old lawyer. They call him the Giving Ninja. And I guess that's because he gives out sandwiches and drinks to walk-ons.
Yeah, that's a really important charity work.
Yeah. Wow. Great attitude by this guy. I know of Sean Darling Hammond. I don't think we've ever gotten like a great look at who this guy is, but he's all smiles. He's like super pumped to get through the giant cubes. I like him.
Yeah, he's definitely more of a Team Ninja Warrior star.
Yes, for sure. Just so much enthusiasm. He gets all the way to the elevator climb. Looks like he's in trouble right away and goes down pretty quickly. But he's in the post run interview. He's saying like, I just want people to be more loving, more giving. I love this guy. I want to have him on the podcast.
Oh yeah, yeah. He wants people to love themselves and each other. So I feel like he could do a lot to improve our teamwork on this podcast.
Well, I mean, let's not go crazy.
Okay. Like,
we'll have him talk about how other people should love themselves and each other. But like, we don't have to like apply like great moral things to ourselves. Like, that's not how this show works.
We're beyond help. Yeah. It's fine.
So good job by Sean Dollingham, and obviously qualifies there. And then we have Jessie Graff, the 33-year-old stunt woman. She has a package about the Rolling Thunder. Jessie Lebrecq is the only woman who's beaten it up to this point. They were really making a big deal out of this thing, and I was kind of like, oh man, are they making a big deal of it because she goes out here and they need to like build it up so people aren't as disappointed? I gotta say, they really got me.
Yeah, I got so nervous because I was trying not to really look at Twitter last night because I was out last night and couldn't. I was missing like three different reality shows that I didn't want spoilers on. But I did see from Jesse like the beginning of an Instagram post that I didn't click on because I didn't know if it would be a spoiler. But it was like going into tonight's city finals, there's an impossible amount of pressure on me. And I was like, oh, no, like it sounded like she was trying to like get ahead of criticism or something, but no, she's correct. There is a ridiculous amount of pressure on her, but it did make me really nervous.
Yes, it does seem like she's running out of gas toward the end of the Rolling Thunder, but she does make it through. She does an early dismount and manages to get through there, becomes the second woman to ever complete the Rolling Thunder.
Great, wonderful. And I know that this was also an obstacle that even after this was filmed, she has like a particular vendetta against. She's like always posting on, not always, but she's made a couple Instagram posts about specifically training for the Rolling Thunder. I know that there was one where she was like, they say the Rolling Thunder is the equivalent of 30 pull-ups, so here's me doing 30 pull-ups to conquer the Rolling Thunder.
She like trash talk it too, like, Rolling Thunder, more like Rolling Lightning. Am I right?
Is that an insult?
Yeah, because lightning's better than thunder.
Okay, sure, whatever.
Everyone knows this.
But yeah, it's just something that she has a specific rivalry with, I think, even after conquering it here.
Yes, well, she manages to get through, gets up the warped wall and onto the giant cubes where Akbar says she looks like Spider-Woman.
She's literally wearing a Spider-Man costume.
Yeah. So he says that because she's gripping on with her feet really well, really doing the giant cubes. I got to say, like, between watching her complete the Rolling Thunder when I thought she would probably fail there, and then watching this very compelling take on the giant cubes, I was really into this run. I thought it was very, very well put together and very fun to watch. She gets all the way around to the second side of the giant cubes. She looks like she is tired. She looks like she's running out of steam. And then she flips her leg around and does a split in the middle of them. And it's just like, what?
Yeah, I loved this so much because I talked about last week being so impressed with Casey using her flexibility to her advantage because of her size. And I love seeing flexibility as a weapon on American Ninja Warrior because it's like the one skill besides maybe balance that does tend to favor women, because women are, when they grow up, when they're young, more women are encouraged to do dance and yoga and things like that. So I feel like on average, the women that we see on this show are going to be more flexible than the men. So I love seeing that as an advantage.
Yeah, and Akbar literally says, what? Yeah. Shut the front door.
He says he's signing up for yoga class today.
Yes, we've turned him around on yoga.
Yeah, it's her and James McGrath.
Yeah. So she makes it through the giant cubes, gets all the way through the circuit board, does an early dismount and gets to the elevator climb. And Akbar is now saying, if she makes it to the top, I'm running out of this booth and I'm climbing right up there. I guess he wants to be the Brent Stephenson of the viral video for when Jesse completes this.
Did he like go up and join her?
Yeah. When Casey finished the city finals, he climbed
Casey
up the tower.
Did. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Jesse. I was like, why was Brent Stephenson?
Jesse hasn't finished a city finals.
Right. Okay.
But she could have.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for the stupid elevator climb. She made it so far. She was doing so well.
Just make it 20 feet or whatever. Ugh.
I feel like if this had been the invisible ladder, she could have done it. I think the elevator climb is just much more difficult. We're seeing not a lot of people capable of making it up. This is hurting your own show. This would have been such a great viral video.
It
you
would
love
have been
those.
The most popular video they've ever had. Easily.
Yes. Ah, man. But very impressive nonetheless. Really, really happy to see Jesse pull off a very, very good run here. Then finally, we go to Travis Rosen. He gets montaged. He gets, I believe this is the only time this has ever happened. Again, I could be remembering things wrong, but like, when is the last time we saw a montage that's like, all right, like, since you've been away, Travis Rosen ran and he went out on the circuit board. All right, now, Drew Dresch.
It's a montage of one.
Yes, he gets his own montage. That's how special Travis is. Yeah, he gets to the circuit board and goes down. He is the fastest to the circuit board, so he will be qualifying in fifth place.
Honestly, if we had seen Travis's run, it would have just been like, this guy is old, and we would have just made fun of it. So,
well, we saw his montage, which was, this guy is
he
old.
He just gets better with age.
Then finally, we are at Drew Dreschel, the 28-year-old ninja gym owner who used to be a used car salesman.
Yeah, he used to be, and he had really iconic bangs.
Yes, he did. With his first, you should watch his first appearance on American Ninja Warrior, because he looks, I love Drew. He looks very, very silly with his
he
hair.
He looks like when eighth grade boys like got into punk music for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's only like 2012. It's not like 2004.
I know. You really expect it to be like 2004. Yeah. This is his seventh year competing. I like that they're doing this sort of historical package on Drew. I wish they would have shown a little more of his old footage. I guess they kind of like to stay away from that old back when it was on G4, that kind of stuff. But I wish they would give us like a real like screw whatever you want to like hide. Like just give us a real package on who Drew is. Like he came on the show. He went to Japan. He injured himself. He like came back, did a bunch of physical therapy and like worked really hard. Trained really hard. Now he goes back to Sasuke. He does super well there. Like he's on top of his game in both countries. Like just give us that. Like if you want to do like a historical Drew package, I feel like that's the package to give. Maybe they're saving it for Vegas, but
maybe they're just waiting for you to volunteer to produce it since you already know all this information.
Well, clearly. but yeah, I really, really liked this run by Drew here. I mean, it's always fun to watch Drew run the course, and this was just it just looks like he's on a playground.
Yeah, I loved when he's on the cubes and he attempts Jesse's technique and is just like, nope, F this, and then just jumps and looks like he just sticks to the cube like it's no issue. Yeah.
It was like, let me just try this. like nope. He's literally just like playing around trying things like, nope, I guess I can't do that, let me just jump. And it looks like it, I didn't even need to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Just very, very impressive. Just so fun to watch. And I think probably what made it even more fun for you was the fact that we were told Peck Flexor is on the bubble. Akbar says he's a metahuman when he's on the broken bridge. He goes so freaking fast on the Rolling Thunder. It's like I don't know how, like, other people try to go that fast. They can't place their hands in the right place. He just does it.
Yeah.
It just goes. It's like it's on wheels. Like there's little wheels on the wheel that are making it spin faster. It's crazy. And he's so good. So smooth through the circuit board. And then flies through the first part of the elevator climb. He does get very tired toward the end. We were like, Oh no. Okay. He's good.
He almost does the Daniel Gill thing where he like falls to his death at the top.
Yeah. but yes, Drew Dreschel, the one and only completion of the night for the course.
And still listening to music.
Oh yes. Yes. It's his new thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very impressive, Ron. I really enjoyed this episode. I was like on the edge of my seat with both Jesse and Drew. And JJ was a great run too. I really, I feel like this really delivered.
Yeah. And when, the best part was when Drew was talking to Christine and she's like, are you excited for Vegas? And he's like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to hang out with my friends, by which he definitely meant us.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. But I agree with you. This was an exciting episode despite some minor qualms with the course.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have proof that we're best friends with Drew Dreschel.
We do have photographic evidence of that. And it's good that this episode was so good because we're doing Cleveland next week, which is going to be another fire episode. So we have to have all that adrenaline carry over for Kansas City.
Yes. yeah, very much so. So we finish off the night. We've got Drew and JJ, Drew Dreschel, the only finisher, JJ Woods, Sean Darlingham, and Jesse Graff, the people who made it to the elevator climb. Jesse, of course, once again, legitimately qualifying in the top 15. And not that it's an illegitimate qualifying otherwise, but makes it to the top 15
right,
as she did last time.
Yeah.
I believe she was second in last season when in mm-hmm, the top qualifying board. Now she's fourth. So very consistently in the top. I mean, it's just, she's just so impressive.
Yeah.
And then we got Travis Rosen, Cassidy Marks, Tyler Gillette, Kevin Carbone, and Rigel Henry. Travis Rosen, sorry, went out on the circuit board. Rigel Henry goes out on the giant cubes. And then Nick Patel, Lucas Gomez, Rico Rivera, Ryan Stratus, Dustin Fishman, and Michael Johnson. Iced in his veins to cap it all off. And then, of course, we had Lindsay Eskilton as the second woman qualifier. We've got a good lineup here. I feel like you probably recognize all of those names, except maybe Nick Patel, who is montaged. And Dustin Fishman, probably. But all of the other names you might recognize.
Yeah, strong field in Daytona.
Yes. I really, really enjoyed this episode. And I enjoyed recapping it.
And there weren't even that many NASCAR references.
Yeah, only like five.
Yeah, something like that. It's a record low.
I mean, for being at a NASCAR place.
A house of NASCAR.
Yeah. All right. So that's our episode for today, for this week. We will be back next week to talk about the Cleveland City Finals. Working on getting a guest here. Hopefully we will be joining you with a special guest. And we also we've got as we mentioned, Lita will be traveling. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully she will be here with me to talk with the guest. And we'll see how that goes. But looking forward to next week and the Cleveland City Finals.
Yes, from my spirit journey, I think for the rest of the season, I'll be podcasting from a different city every single week. So I will never miss a podcast unless I absolutely have to. I just want the listeners to know that I am not prioritizing my life over this podcast at all. It's a matter of internet connections.
But she is prioritizing her spirit over all the things.
I feel like you're really making this a joke as if I'm not actually a spiritual person, which you know that I am.
Listen, what happens when I'm tired is that I say words and then I'm like, well, I gotta stick with those.
Those are the words that I can remember today. It's a short list. Yeah. I have an iTunes review.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it is fun. You should all take note of how much joy these bring us, and you should do them. Okay. This is from TV Lindy. It is called Fun, Funny, and Fantastic, 5 stars. She says, I started listening to this podcast because I love Taryn's Big Brother coverage on RHAP. Now I'm a huge fan of Lita, too. Aww. Listening to these two break down each episode of A&W is so fun, especially when you don't know anyone else who watches the show. The banter is great, and the conversation often leads to some really insightful commentary about the contestants, the obstacles, and the show overall. And they're very thorough. Everything you notice in the episode is brought up in the podcast. This has made me look forward to watching A&W and listening to the A&W RHAP up every week. It's easily one of my favorite show/podcast combinations. Smiley face.
I like it. I feel like we're like a cult hit.
Yeah,
right?
Cult classic.
Yeah, everyone that listens to us, all three of them, they really enjoy us.
Yeah, if you're one of our three listeners and you haven't written a review, what are you doing? We're counting on you.
Yeah, we're all gonna gang up on you and be like, why are you being so bad at being a listener?
Yeah, support us.
Yes.
You can always leave those in the iTunes store and subscribe to us.
Yes, you can find us American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups. That's RHAP Ups. You can also find us on the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed that has this podcast, the So You Think You Can Dance podcast that Lita also does, the Taryn Show that I do, and all of that Big Brother coverage that they mentioned in the review.
I'm offended that they're not a fan of me from my Big Brother coverage.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I do that sometimes.
Yes, Lita has been on some updates, and she even subbed in on the LFC roundtable. Truly a rising star in the Big Brother world.
Yeah, I'm like the third alternate for the LFC. It's really special.
It is.
So listen to those also, and listen to So You Think You Can Dance. Kelly and I are recording later today. Hopefully I won't be missing any episodes of that on my travels either. Very fun. Live show. First live show last night. voting awesome. Happened. We're going to tell you who to vote for, because unlike Taryn, we don't have to remain objective about things.
Oh, my. So biased.
So biased. It's a show where literally America chooses the winner. So we need to make endorsements.
Sounds like something I would definitely not enjoy.
Something you would never spend a season podcasting about.
Never.
That would be too right. over the top.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Do we have a hashtag for this episode?
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking about it. Do we have a hashtag? Something about spirituality? Something like that?
I don't know.
Thunder lightning?
Tell us what's better, thunder or lightning?
Or ice in my veins.
It seems obvious to me that thunder is just a byproduct of lightning. So obviously lightning is better. It's also cooler. It looks cooler. You can't even see thunder. So yeah, that's lame.
I'm just confused because your suggestion was that Jesse disses it by calling it lightning, which is saying that it's better than what it is.
No, by saying like, oh, well, it should be lightning if it was really cool, but it's only thunder.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How about hashtag only thunder?
All right. Hashtag only thunder. You can follow us on Twitter if you like. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can send in some questions about the episode too, or comments. Make sure you send them to Lita, because I am just now in this moment tasking her with collecting questions and comments from now on. So make sure you send them to Lita at Lita Tweeted if you want to get your questions or comments in on the show. That's always a lot of fun when we get some questions and or comments. You can also follow Lita on Instagram. She's at Lita Grammed.
Yes.
How's that been going for you?
It's been going actually better. People are doing it. They're making it happen. I will be visiting, probably not ninja gyms just based on where I'm going, but I'll be visiting a bunch of different climbing gyms, on my travels. So if you're interested in that, I'll be posting about that on Instagram.
Yes. Look at lots of pictures of Lita falling off of things.
Yeah. I'm not good at it. I just love it. So, which is the story of my life.
It's true. Lita was at a climbing gym a while ago, and I'm pretty sure she sent me a picture of her falling off a thing.
It was my profile picture on Facebook. I fell from the literal top of the wall. I just fell off. Like, I reached the top, and I was so proud of myself, and then I just lost my grip. And, like, it's fine. It's just bouldering. I do a little bit of top roping, but you can't really fall when you're doing that. So it's not a talent that I have. It's just a passion.
All right. Well, if you're passionate about podcasting and listening to podcasts, make sure you follow and subscribe, and go to robhisawebsite.com if you want to comment there. Lots of different options. But thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.